In paragraph 937 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we read this very succinct definition of the office of the Pope. The Pope enjoys, by divine institution, supreme, full, immediate, and universal power in the care of souls. The Pope, says the Catechism, enjoys by divine institution. What does that mean? It means that the office of the papacy was instituted by God. And indeed, in today's readings from Scripture, particularly the Old Testament lesson and our Gospel, we see this to be the case. And so my homily title this morning is the following: Two Texts and One Treasure. But I want to begin by telling you about the treasure, and then we'll think for a few minutes about the texts. We know that St. Peter was crucified upside down, and that he was buried in the area right around where the Vatican is now. Indeed, in the year 320, the Emperor Constantine built a basilica there that stood until the 16th century, when the current basilica was begun. It took over a century to build it. And here we have St. Peter's, well, we could say the other St. Peter's. This is the St. Peter's. The point I'm making is that there is something significant about the very place where St. Peter's in Rome was built. And this is because soon after Peter's death, that area became what's known as a necropolis, where the dead were buried. And St. Peter was buried there. Well, over time, his relics were lost until 1939, when Pope Pius XII gave permission for the archaeologists to begin to do excavation underneath St. Peter's. And indeed, what they discovered was this necropolis, an ancient cemetery. And then in 1941, as part of their excavational work, they came across a wall. And they noticed this stone in the wall that had Greek words on it, and the words could be translated as, "Peter in here." They removed the stone to find behind the stone a cavity. And within this opening, there was a bag. And in this bag were bones. Now, because it was 1941, there was something else going on at that time that sort of was taking everyone's attention, the Second World War, of course. And so it was only in the early 1950s that there was an opportunity to carbon date what had been found in 1941. And the scientific discovery from that carbon dating was they were able to determine that these bones belonged to a man who died when he was in his mid to late 60s, sometime around the mid 60s of the first century. The other thing they noticed, some of the contortions in the bones indicated someone who had been crucified. What a remarkable treasure the church has discovered. But interestingly, centuries earlier, the first of the church's historians, a man by the name of Eusebius, wrote these words: "If you will go to the Vatican or to the Ostian Way, you will find the trophies of those who laid the foundations of the church." What are the trophies? They're relics. Whose trophies would be found on the Ostian Way? The relics of St. Paul. Whose trophies would be found in the Vatican? The trophies, the relics of St. Peter. So the question we then have to ask is, so why would the church preserve the relics of St. Peter where they did? Because of the church's understanding of the two texts that we had today. In our reading from the Gospel, remember where Jesus is. He's not in Israel. he has gone north into Gentile territory to a place called Caesarea Philippi. And what there was at Caesarea Philippi was a temple on a huge rock. And the temple was dedicated to the glory and the honor of the emperors. Not only that, because this is Gentile territory, all around are symbols of pagan gods and goddesses. And here's the remarkable thing. It's not in Jerusalem. It's not up north in Galilee. It's outside of Jewish territory entirely, where there is a temple to the emperor and representations of pagan gods all around, that Jesus asks the question, "So boys, who do people say that I am?" And interestingly, their answer is one of the prophets, or Elijah, John the Baptist, people who are all dead. But then he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And as always happens, Simon, son of Jonah, speaks with the 12. And he says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And of course, Jesus says, "Yes, indeed I am. And this has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood, but this has been inspired and revealed to you by God. And so I tell you that just as you have now identified my office, I am the Christ, I'm giving you an office. You are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church." In Jerusalem, there's what's called the foundation stone. It's the very rock on which the temple is built. Indeed, it was above this rock that the Ark of the Covenant would have been placed. But the Ark of the Covenant disappeared at the time of Jeremiah the prophet. And every year on the Day of Atonement, the priests would go into this area and sprinkle the blood of the sacrificed lambs on the foundation stone. And now what Jesus is saying to Peter is, "You are the foundation stone." That just as that foundation stone in Jerusalem was the basis for the physical temple, you will be the basis and the rock of my church. And here's the other thing to take into consideration. Remember where they are, Caesarea Philippi. Remember what's right before them, a huge rock on the top of which is a temple to the emperor. And Jesus is saying, "It's not this rock, you're rocky. And on you, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. And I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom." Now, when I go on holiday, we have people who come and look after our house. And one of the things I do when they come to look after our house is I give them the keys to my house. Because in my absence, what am I asking them to do? I'm asking them to take care and manage my home. Now, this is the exact thing that Jesus is saying to Peter. I'm giving you the keys to the household. You are entrusted with the care of my family, the church. But what's remarkable is that 800 years before Jesus was talking with Peter at Caesarea Philippi, the prophet Isaiah anticipates this story. For in our first reading from Isaiah 22, we have the story of what we could call the prime minister. He's the steward of the household of the king. The king's name is Hezekiah. And there's a man who holds this office who's a bad piece of work. His name is Shebna. And so Isaiah says, "Shebna, you're fired. You're out of here." But that doesn't mean the office is no longer important. The office is going to be given to another by the name of Eliakim. And one of the things we read about Eliakim are these words: "I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open and no one shall shut. He shall shut and no one will open. I will fasten him like a peg in a secure place, and he will become a throne of honor to his ancestral home." This is a remarkable text because it tells us that when Jesus says to Peter, "I will give you the keys," he had Isaiah 22 in mind. That just as Shebna was going to have the stewardship of the house of King Hezekiah, so too Peter would have the stewardship of King Jesus. But did you notice the text from Isaiah says, "I will fasten him like a peg in a secure place"? Do you know that the papacy is the oldest institution in the world. We know every pope, from Peter to Francis. And some of them were a bad piece of work, like Shepna. Some of them, as we know, were remarkable, saintly, godly men. But the point is this: the papacy was instituted by Jesus Christ. And because of the papacy, we can call the Holy Father Papa. Again, back to Isaiah 22. Remember what it said in that verse. You might look at it again later today. He, the steward, will be a father to Israel and Judah. The very thing the Pope has been entrusted with. And so, may I just refer back to those words I quoted from the Catechism. The Pope enjoys by divine institution, what I've just described, full, immediate, and universal power in the care of souls. As you know, I became a Catholic in 2012, and the most important biblical text in my conversion were Isaiah 22 and Matthew 16. When you see the clarity of what the Bible says, when you understand the treasure that we have discovered of the relics of St. Peter, we are called to honor the papacy. We are called to be thankful that Jesus has given us one who can lead the church, so that over 2,000 years, the church has remained one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ and for his steward, the Holy Father.